Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 127, Recipe Management. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and you know this is the podcast that's all about home cooking. Tips, inspiration, good times, all that sort of stuff. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen in. I know a lot of you are new to the show, so welcome. We're going to have a great episode lined up for you today. In fact, we're talking about managing our recipes, and I have a great guest today, Julie Awad with MySaffronApp.com. She's here to talk about a digital app that she has been developing with her son, actually, to help us all manage our recipes better. Online and digital cookbook format. It's going to be a valuable conversation. I think you'll find a lot in it. So look, if you take nothing else away from this episode, if you hit pause or stop in a couple of seconds, go to mysaffronapp.com, sign up, download the app. It's free and check it out. It was just released about a little over a month ago, and Julie and her team are looking for feedback on how to develop it and make it better for home cooks. So they would love to hear from you. Now, before I get into the conversation with Julie, I want to mention two quick things, which I pretty much always mention. So if you've heard the show before, sorry for the repeat. But if you want to get a hold of me directly, if you have a question, want to share a recipe, just want to say hello, you can always send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I read all my emails. I respond to almost all of my emails unless I'm doing a promotion or something where I'm getting a lot that I might not be able to catch them all. But I promise I'll read your email. Love to hear from you. You can always hit me on Facebook Messenger as well. That's another really good way to get a hold of me. But if you want to go a level deeper, I would encourage you to check out, if you haven't already, the Facebook group for the show, The Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. I hang out there. A lot of other awesome community members, home cooks, other cool folks hang out over at the Facebook group. It's a closed group, so you just can't get in. You got to swing by and answer a couple of really easy questions, and then we'll let you in. But if you want to check that out, share some pictures of food, look at good pictures of food, share recipes, tips, and all that stuff, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. That'll take you over to the Facebook group. And then finally, show notes for this particular episode are going to be over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/127. So if you hear something that interests you in this conversation with Julie about My Saffron or cookbooks or old recipes or whatever, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/127 to get the notes. All right, then, enough of all that chit-chat idle stuff. Let's get right into this great conversation with Julie Awad of MySaffronApp.com. Julie, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you.
Now, you're part of our Facebook group, and that's how we kind of connected.
That's right.
So, and I appreciate that you're on there, and I see you all the time, and you're always sharing some interesting stuff. So this will be a fun conversation because you sent me an email suggesting maybe we talk about something along the lines of recipe management, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I don't think I've really ever talked about that. And it ties into so much stuff, right? It ties into meal planning and just like efficiency in your kitchen. So I think this will be kind of a fun conversation. And I think we're going to focus a little more on some digital online newer stuff, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, I think so too. People don't always think too much about their recipes. They collect them. They enjoy using them, but I think they probably spend more time on picking out some of the tools in their kitchen and organizing their spices more than actually thinking about how can I make using my recipes a little better.
Yeah. And what's funny, and I haven't even shown you this yet, so I'll just share it for the world to see. But I took a picture this morning of my recipe cubby hole. It's like a little mini cabinet space in my kitchen where I keep recipe stuff. And it's a total disaster, which is hilarious because that's not even online stuff. That's just the physical printouts, recipe cards,
some are literally just bits of scrap paper that I wrote something down on and have stuck up there. And I'll come across it and I'll be like, oh, I wonder what that was for. Oh, yeah, that was that sauce. And there's not even a title on it. So I need to certainly myself get better at recipe management.
And that's kind of where I got started, is that I got tired of trying to find the recipes I wanted to make. And I had a collection of cookbooks and recipe cards and all kinds of different forms that recipes were in. And it's a job just keeping up with it.
Yeah. So let's start out. Let's talk about recipes in general for a little bit, because I know we were chatting earlier before we were recording, and I think we want to just kind of maybe, like, I think everybody knows what a recipe is. We don't necessarily have to define that. But you have some interesting info on things like the history of recipes, because where we're at today, and I've said this on the show before, not just in terms of recipes, it's like a crazy time in the history of, you know, humanity to be a cook, because you have so many resources at your fingertips, whether it's video or audio or books or, you know, websites. It's insane. But, you know, it certainly wasn't like that all the time. So what was it like in the early days of recipes?
Well, people have always used recipes from the beginning of time, actually. But to think about when in America, for example, the first American cookbook was actually around 1796. And Amelia Simmons actually produced the cookbook. And what's interesting is if anybody would like to take a look at it, you can easily Google it online and take a look at it. But it's written in paragraph form. You don't have the nice recipe list and the step list. And there are no pictures. It's all copy. And these books are large. They're over 600 pages. And so people read a lot when they were actually cooking back then. And they also included things on cleanliness, how clean they important it was to keep your kitchen clean. It talked about, it included stuff about going to the doctors or keeping healthy. So it was beyond just cooking. It was really kind of running your house back then. And then in 1845, Eliza Acton actually created the first modern cookery book for private families. And what's interesting is she used that term private families. We don't think anything special about getting a cookbook. But back then, cooking originally was for more the well-to-do. They're the ones that wrote down the recipes and had the privilege of doing all that. And so now look at what we can do. Look at all the advantages, like you said, that we have at our fingertips. So I think our problem today is, how do we harness it? How do we use it so that we're not overwhelmed by it? And hopefully today I can help people with that that problem.
Yeah, and I think that's so interesting about, you mentioned like how the wealthy, you know, the books were something that wealthy people had, and they're the ones that kind of documented that side of culture. But I think it would be also interesting, and I don't know anything about this really, but, you know, like the unwritten voices and how they documented their food ways. And actually, there's some really good podcasts out there. I'll include some links in the show notes from the, good grief, I'm drawing a blank on it, from the Southern Folkways Alliance, I think it is. So there's a lot of Southern cookery history that they do in blogs and podcasts from the folks that maybe weren't necessarily on the wealthy side of the track, so to speak. A bit of a tangent, but that's interesting.
Everybody had to cook somehow, and it was a priority. I mean, that's how they were able to live. You know, it was a lot of time was spent on cooking healthy things and what was available. And of course it had to be seasonal. And they also had to plan. They had to plan well in advance. The type of food that, you know, when they had to store things, how they store things. So again, I think the whole subject of cooking back then was so different than, you know, for us today, for sure.
And I think for most of us modern home cooks, just to kind of circle back to a point, we probably have some sort of a combination of cookbooks, written recipes, recipe cards, perhaps we've received from, you know, previous generations of our family. So there's kind of a question on how to organize all that. And I think we're going to talk about maybe bringing some of that into the digital age. But then there's the other half of the coin too, where I have a bunch of stuff like squirreled away in pockets on the internet too, right? Like I've got an all recipes account where I've got some saved recipes and probably dozens of others I can't even think about. So maybe, Right. Yeah, we can talk about how we can bring those into more of like a cohesive system for your typical home cook. So what are, should we just touch on some of the classic ways that, that people are probably storing their recipes?
Yes, I think probably what most people are used to, like you said, is actually subscribing to a magazine. Maybe they like Southern Living or Rachel Ray or some of the, there's so many different popular magazines out that people still, I think, use. Friends give them recipes. So sometimes those are handwritten. Sometimes they could be maybe in a word processing file or in an email. A lot of social media includes recipes nowadays. So you've got Pinterest and Instagram. And a lot of those social sites, it's very hard to actually get the recipe in a good form to cook from. And so, again, those are some of the challenges we have. YouTube is another good example where you might be watching a cooking preparation. And it's hard to jot down, or even if you're watching a television show, the recipe as they're doing it. Sometimes they'll flash it on the screen. Sometimes they'll link to a website. But when you have all these different websites, you have basically all the different ways that people are formatting. And so it's a challenge to manage it all. Some of the ways that I early on did it was actually putting binders together, which I'm sure a lot of people have done, and I would print out recipes as I would cook them. But that really got overwhelming because I was always trying new things and wanting to update it and even to find them, searching through which binder did I put it in or did I put it under this. And I started out with one binder, and then I have like about six binders divided then by types of food, and it just got crazy. So I was like, this is not productive. And so in searching for that, I started to try and drive towards more of an online resource so that I could take advantage of all these wonderful food blogs and things that are available to us now. But like you said, if you get accounts everywhere and bookmarks everywhere, you don't always get to have it all together. And that's one thing that was important to me is how can I have all of my recipes together that I can see them, that I can go through them, and that I can actually use them.
So I think that's a perfect overview. We don't need to get into details. I think people that are using those methods already know what the advantages and disadvantages are to those. And I know for some folks, they're probably totally fine with what they're doing. I default myself to more of an analog lifestyle. I use a lot of digital tools and stuff, but I think I mentioned before on the show, it's like when I write a shopping list, I love just to write it down on a piece of paper. I don't know why, but that's just the most effective way to me. But let's talk about the digital world. And when we're thinking about bringing our recipe collections, organizing our recipes into the modern era, for lack of a better term. Where do we start with that? Because like I said, I've got a lot of digital places. I've got stuff tucked away in Evernote, different websites. I've never really found an app yet that really works for me for like shopping lists and that sort of thing. So where do we start? Because it's very overwhelming, right? When we think of the digital world of recipes and managing them.
It really is. And I think the one thing I want to emphasize is that cooking from recipes and how you want to cook at home is really personal, and that you want a system that's flexible. And I would ask your listeners to kind of think, what do you want to do? What is your goal with your recipes? And it's fine to use some things. You don't have to do everything, but I think it's good to know what's available and think about where you want to go with your recipes. For example, do you want to automate a grocery list from your recipes so you don't have to handwrite it? Do you want a menu plan? People approach cooking differently. There are people that are really into starting with the menu plan. They want to know the week ahead what they're making. There are some people that do things more sporadically and want to stop on the way home from the grocery. from the stop on the way home from work to the grocery, and they'll want to pick up the lasagna recipe. Well, if it's in a binder at home, it's a little hard to do that. But if you have your recipe in a digital form, you can click a button and send your lasagna recipe ingredients through your grocery list. Also, once you spend the time putting all your recipes in a digital form, it's really easy to take advantage of some tools. So, for example, being able to scale your recipe, being able to change measurement from metric to imperial, being able to set a timer, being able to do a lot of things. But once you've captured that, it's very easy to then do some of those things. Now, does that mean you have to do all those things? Absolutely not. You know, pick and choose what works for you and the type of recipes you have.
Yeah, and I just want to say one thing, and then I want to jump in and talk a little bit more about some specifics. And I want to talk about Saffron, of course, too, which is the app that you have developed for online digital recipe management. It's an online cookbook, basically. We'll get to that in a second. But in our pre-chat, I also talked about, and we chatted a bit about how there's like more value to a recipe sometimes than just information. So, you know, an example from my own life is, you know, my mom was a pretty good cook and she had all sorts of recipes on, you know, handwritten cards that she either got from her mom and grandmother or had developed on her own or what, you know, picked up in different places, traded with friends. And those were very valuable to us as a family. They were a valuable heirloom, I guess, to put it that way. And there's six of us kids, and it was very difficult for us to figure out a way to share those recipes in a way that kind of went beyond just the informational value. Hopefully I'm making sense here. Like, somebody wants to have the recipes, right? Because owning those recipe cards is a valuable personal emotional thing. So one thing we did, you know, one person can own the recipe cards, but we actually took all of those to a digital, what do we call them? Like a, like somebody who can transfer slides and print images into digital. And he actually transferred all of our recipes into visual digital format. So we all have scans or high quality scans of all of those handwritten recipes. So it was a really fun way for our family to share those with one another. So we've all got a copy of mom's handwritten recipes, even though we might not have the original card. And it's just an example of how, like, the value of a recipe can be more than just the informational value. That's a value we wouldn't necessarily have if we would have just written them down in a digital format, which we have as well. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're hitting on exactly what I want to try and do with this product is I want it to be very personal. Sometimes stuff online tends to be kind of cold and mechanical and form-based. And that's the exact opposite of what I was hoping to create because my husband is Lebanese and he grew up with totally different food than I did. Mm-hmm. When we got married, I wanted to be able to cook all those recipes. As I was introduced to Lebanese food, I realized very quickly they don't write down recipes and they cook totally different than we do. And I don't even know what this food's supposed to look like, taste like, or any of those things. So I had a learning curve there, but as we had children, it was very important to me that they grew up eating some of the same foods that their father had and that, that they were surrounded by good food, healthy food, and that they wanted to continue cooking into their life. When they were getting ready to go to college and were going to be cooking on their own, they wanted some of their recipes or some of the recipes we had, and I wanted to make them each a cookbook. So some of these things I wanted to do, I kept thinking, well, how can I do this? And I tried, again, some of the things you were talking about earlier, like Evernote or some of these things that aren't made specifically for recipes, but again, were able to share very easily. And it was still missing. And it wasn't, again, personal enough. And I think being able to have pictures of your original recipes, I have some recipes written out in Arabic. And even though I can't translate all of it, I love having them. Mm-hmm. And again, being able to put pictures of things of your parents or whoever made the recipe. Those are all things that would be great to have in the recipe book, the cookbook itself.
I love the idea of being, I haven't even thought about this before, but it makes total sense. Like, and we'll talk about this in Saffron, where you can upload a picture. Like, you could even upload a picture of like the original handwritten recipe if you wanted to. Or can you upload more than one picture?
We actually have been developing this for a year and a half, and we just released it this past month. And we've designed out a lot of the features, but we're releasing them gradually so that we make sure that everything's really solid. But I would love for people to start using it and to give us that kind of feedback.
Okay.
Because food blogs, right now we have one main picture to answer your question that is for the recipe, so that I spent a lot of time on the legibility. Because that's another thing about online. There's a lot of challenges to making things read well, especially if you're looking at it on different size screens.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you've got it on a phone versus on a desktop versus an iPad or any of that kind of thing, you want it to look fantastic, and you want to be able to read things clearly and be accurate and not get frustrated. So I came up with a layout that I think best meets all those requirements. From there, though, I'd really like to be able to offer like custom designs, so that like, say you have a certain look that you want the cookbook to look like, mm-hmm. that you could select a rustic theme, or you could select a contemporary theme, and then your cookbook would look like that. You wouldn't have to decide, again, what size things are or where things go. All that would be pre-designed for you. But all you do is say, I like this style. You click that, and then you could make it personal that way if you want it to be a more traditional. So anyway, those are some of the things. I don't know if people would like that, but those are some of the things I'm considering. Mm-hmm. Blogs do have lots of steps in their cooking. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people want to see that broken out. We do link to the original recipe, so that may be enough for people. And maybe people like a clean, just one picture image. So there's a lot of options, and I'm leaving that open to the direction it goes. But I'm hoping, again, to connect with people who would like to have a product like this or have a resource like this, and I can work with them more directly and get specifically what they would like to use.
Okay. So we've kind of jumped into it. So let's talk about Saffron then a little more specifically. And this is an app. You can get it, I believe, I got it on my iPhone from the App Store, but you can also get it or access it online at mysaffronapp.com. So Julie, why don't you just kind of baseline us here on what Saffron is? I mean, I think we've kind of danced around it, but let's just baseline it here and jump right into it.
Well, I think I referred earlier that I created it really to be able to see all my recipes in one place, and that I wanted to be able to find things that I wanted to cook quicker, and I wanted to be able to adapt recipes to my family's tastes, and I wanted to be able to pass down our recipes to my sons. So that's kind of the heart of why we created it. And I really didn't see anything that was available online that actually met what I was looking for, that allowed me the flexibility to organize the way that I'd like to, and that it was really optimized for reading a recipe online. So those were some of the things, again, from my design background that were really important to me. And I wanted it to be very fun to use. And by that, I mean, I didn't want to get people bogged down in filling things out. I want to try and get the recipes in there as easily as possible Saffron does not come with any recipes. I do have a little sample cookbook in there so people can kind of get an idea of what it would look like. Mm-hmm. But this whole thing is that it's yours. And you can create as many cookbooks as you want, and you can use it the way you want. You can create your own table of contents. And that it really draws on how cookbooks are traditionally used. Because I think that's one of the best ways, and people are used to using that. Some apps today rely on the search field and or tags. Mm-hmm. And I think that works to some extent. But I absolutely love being able to see my recipes visually. I have little pictures. When you do a search, you can see the author, you can see the picture of the recipe, and you can click through and see your recipes really easily, quickly. There's a drop down that enables you to switch between cookbooks. So, for example, one way you might think about organizing is I have a Wanna Cook cookbook. And what I do in there is when I get new recipes, I put the new recipes in there. So if I want to try something new and I'm not sure what I want to try, I've been kind of storing these. I've been adding them slowly, and then I can go through that cookbook really quickly and I can say, okay, I'm going to try this tonight. And again, the search feature is really nice because sometimes you have ingredients, but you don't know what you want to cook. So the search ingredients lets you add a couple of ingredients, and you could say, I want what has corn, lentils, and ground beef. And it'll pull up what you have of your recipes. Again, these are all within your recipes that you have added. So that's kind of how I like to use it. I also set up cookbooks by cuisine. I mentioned that I do a lot of Arabic cooking, and so I have a cookbook just of those recipes. Again, but that's up to you. I have a book that's called Family Favorites, so you can name them anything you want. And then inside, what's nice, you can arrange them any way you want. For example, a lot of international cooking or either ethnic cooking, they lay out recipe books or cookbooks based on the preparation, whether you're roasting, whether you're grilling, whatever you're doing. So I actually use a lot of cookbooks, look at a lot of cookbooks, and the table contents can be really different nowadays, mm-hmm. the way they're set up. And I think that's wonderful. You should be able to set it up any way you want. So again, that's one of the key things, being able to see things all together. Some of the apps that I would try and use, you were very compartmentalized. And by that, you would be filling out a form for your recipe, and then you wouldn't know what that looked like. And then you'd go to the next step. You didn't know, and you couldn't really tell how this was coming together. One of the ways you get a recipe into Saffron is you can manually hand enter it, but it actually has a preview of your recipe to the right. So as you enter anything, you see exactly what that recipe looks like. And it's really cool because you can change your mind. I don't like this. I don't want a different picture. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait till the very end to see what it's going to look like, and then not like it or want to change it. So that I think is really special about the app.
I think what I really like about it, I played in it a little bit here. I haven't totally dived in super, super deep, but I love, to your point, the customizability, because literally when you start a new cookbook in Saffron, it's like a blank slate, and you can, you know, build your table of contents or your organization however you want, which is really pretty cool. And yeah, I started a new cookbook. I just haven't had a chance to put in a bunch of recipes yet, but it's very cool, and it's shareable, which I think is also very cool. So you could, as I understand it, you shared a recipe with me earlier via email from, I assume, your cookbook. But if I wanted to, I guess I could share a whole cookbook with somebody.
That's correct. And that's what I was, that's what I've done with my sons. I've got one son that's away at college, and he's cooking in his apartment. And I set up a cookbook for him before he left. And he can access it, and he's generating a grocery list and doing his own shopping and cooking. And then he'll ask, Mom, I want to do more of this. Do you have any ideas? And I can quickly, you know, add recipes to his cookbook. So it's not static. It's so adaptable. And that's what I really like about it, is you should be able to try a recipe, not like it, be able to, you know, modify it, adapt it for your family's taste, and be able to remember, what did I do? How did I make that? So that's really nice.
And it's obviously cloud-based. So when I enter something anywhere, I can access it obviously from any of the other applications. So when I go onto my desktop or my laptop computer and enter a recipe, bam, it's available on my iPhone app, my Saffron app.
That's right. There's no application to download on the desktop. It actually is web-based, but you will download the actual app. I feel that there's certain tasks you really want to do on the different devices. Like on the phone, you really want to be able to look at recipes, go shopping. There's certain things that are really great there. I really like putting my recipes into my cookbook on my desktop because I just have a little more room to actually see things. So we're trying to make decisions, again, about what people would like to do on the different devices. So right now we kind of took a stab at what we think people will like, but we're very open to hearing how people want to use it. And we're trying. I mean, I remember when we first were able to have this, the recipe on the phone, and I thought, gosh, would I actually cook from my phone? I wasn't even sure if I would. I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it. And it's so small. It doesn't get in the way of everything. And so, again, I surprise myself even sometimes as we start to do some of these things, how much more I love doing it a certain way. And I spend very little time getting ready to go to the grocery now. And so I know sometimes thinking of switching to a new system can be overwhelming and think, oh, my gosh, it's going to take time to kind of change how I'm doing things to this new system. But I have to say, once everything's in a digital form, you can quickly pull together a menu. You can quickly send things to the grocery. I love when I get to the grocery, one of my favorite features in grocery shopping, which is, I think, unique to Saffron. I haven't seen any other grocery list that does this, is it actually shows you what ingredients came from a certain recipe. So if you're making chicken enchiladas and for some reason they don't have the type of chicken you want to use for making that, and you want to switch to something else, you can actually click on the recipe view of the grocery list and delete all the ingredients that go with chicken enchiladas. So you don't have to worry about, well, I don't want to buy this because I'm not making that anymore. So that's super handy. And I've been in the grocery where I've had to change my mind of what I'm doing or whatever I thought was going to be isn't available. And again, that's just super nice. And it would be really hard to remember if you were trying to remember a traditional recipe.
That's a good point. And that's absolutely a problem that I've run into many times with my good old fashioned analog handwritten list. It's like, oh, they don't have, ham. What am I, and then it's like, well, what was everything that went with that? Because now I've got to go to another store to find my ingredient, or I just totally pivot. So that would be a very cool feature to be able to say, like, just take out everything that has to do with this recipe.
And the other thing, you can categorize your ingredients or the items you're going to buy at the grocery store. So for example, if you're in the produce department, I really like to be able to shop for all my produce and have that all listed together. And then when I'm done with it, I clear the items, and then I move to the next section of the grocery store. And I'm less likely to miss something or forget something because they're organized in that way. So being able to have some organization to your grocery list can be a real time saver too. And I absolutely love that.
So let me ask a question about a couple questions about Saffron in general. So I've got some recipes in, and certainly I can access them from all my devices. What kind of output features are available? Can I print a recipe, for example?
I do not have a print button at this moment. That can easily be added.
But it looks like I could do like a full screen mode and just print.
Yes. Yes. We haven't spent a lot of time focusing on printing because we don't know if people are going to need to print it.
Yeah. Yep.
To be honest, it's so easy to use online. And again, when you start cooking from recipes and you're sending them to your friends. And again, another thing for the grocery list is I let my family members access my account and they can just add stuff to the grocery list. So when I go to the grocery store, I have everything everybody needs. It's nice to have, again, that sharing ability on mm-hmm. some of these things so it doesn't fall on one person. If you want somebody else to pick up the groceries on the way home, they can log into the account and do the grocery shopping for you.
That's very cool. And I guess it makes sense because why would I want to print it out anyway? Because I'm trying to avoid the disaster of a recipe cubby hole that I've got now with, 100, 200, 300
exactly.
printed out recipes.
Exactly. And we're trying to focus on the things that people are going to prioritize, really the features we think people can get the most benefit from. So, again, if we hear people are wanting to print, we can consider it. But I'm thinking that more people are going to really enjoy being able to streamline that whole process of getting prepared to cook. And when you can focus on the cooking, it's just really nice. And you're not bogged down with all those little steps.
Agreed. Is there any other thing about saffron you want to mention that we haven't talked about?
I think the main thing is that saffron's account is private. So it's really up to you when you want to share something. You're in control of creating the links, sharing it with who you want, turning that off if you need to turn that off. It's very different than a lot of the apps that are approaching cooking right now that are very social media based. And a lot of those come with a library of recipes already. And you're just kind of sorting through all these existing recipes they have, making suggestions. I kind of inverted that. I want all of my recipes in a library that's accessible to me. And I think if you can think of it that way, you still have access to all those recipes on the internet and cookbooks and everything else that you want, but there's no limitations. Sometimes those apps want you to use their library. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a drawback. So think about that when you're making a decision.
Okay, so that's a very good overview of the Saffron app. And it's free, right? So people can log on and give it a shot. It's not going to cost them anything. It's really cool. It's really fun. I encourage people to get in there and do that. And also, you're going to share here in a second where you can find all the apps. But the main website is mysaffronapp.com, and I'll put that link into the show notes. But Julie, where else can people access the app?
You actually would register or sign up for Saffron at mysaffronapp.com. And then you'd be able to download the actual mobile device, either an iOS or an Android phone. And then that will connect with your actual Saffron account once you've set that up. So you want to set up your account on the website first and then download your phone app. And you'll be able to log in through your phone then. And then my Instagram account is jbawad, which is J-B-A-W-A-D. And you also can email me at julie@mysaffronapp.com.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, this is very cool. And I can't wait to dig in a little bit more and start making a dent in my horrific recipe cubby hole. I don't really have an official name for it. Hopefully I won't have it for very much longer. But thanks for coming on the show and talking about this, Julie. I hope we can get a lot of people on there trying it out and sending you feedback on which way the development should go.
Please, I'd really appreciate it. And thank you, Roger. I enjoyed it.
I had a lot of fun with that conversation with Julie Awad of mysaffronapp.com. And if you're thinking about it, before you forget, if you want to check it out, remember, head over to mysaffronapp.com. It's free. Sign up, download the app, and play around with it. Julie and her team would love to get your feedback as they go through some iterations of developing this app and make it a really valuable tool for home cooks and bloggers. I know some of you are bloggers as well, so maybe that will be of interest. And again, if you need show notes for this episode, kitchencounterpodcast.com/127. All right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode today of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I'm trying to get regular episodes out on the 1st and the 15th of each month, but I'm also going to be trying to slip in some other episodes as I can do it in between those times. And I've got one I'm planning on doing relatively soon, a live cook-through of a recipe that you can cook along in real time with me if you want, or just listen to my commentary. So keep your ears peeled for that in the near future. All right, everybody, thank you once again for taking time to sit down with me and have a conversation about home cooking and good food. Again, this is Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast, and until next time, happy cooking.